Good
Morning.
morning. I was just checking if we have the critical mass to start.
Yes, we do.
Goeiemôre, Vryburg.
Ek is nie geneig om te kla nie, maar ek kla. Ek is nie Vryburg nie. Ek is nou in Kapstad.
Nie kla nie, niemand luister nie, speaker.
Jy luister nooit nie. Good morning, colleagues, ladies and gentlemen, honorable members. Can we please start off with our meeting? We are a little bit tardy today, so my apologies first of all to all of you for starting a few minutes late. You are all welcome. Can I please have any indication of any apologies? Do we have any?
Good morning, Honourable Speaker.
Except that Chief Whip, we did get the apology from the Deputy Chief Whip of the ANC. That apology we have noted. Is there any other thing?
Yes, Honourable Speaker. Sorry, I joined in a bit late. I just came off another meeting. The apology of Honourable Numalo from the IFP.
The apology of Honourable Numalo is noted. Any other apology? None.
Speaker, we have not seen Numalo. In all platforms, Numalo is apologizing. We have not even welcomed him. Let Numalo come.
No, he's in another meeting.
Is taking note of that.
He's in another meeting.
Okay. Honorable members, I put the agenda for your consideration. Is it okay?
Yes, Honorable Speaker.
I second.
Is there that agenda to them?
Yes,
we are done.
I do second.
Thank you very much. I now want to put the minutes of the meeting we held on the 26th of November 2019 and the minutes of the 19th of May 2020 for us. Can we start with the minutes of the 26th November 2019? Have members had sight of the minutes? It's 4 pages.
Yes, Honorable Speaker, we had sight of these minutes. They were circulated. I went through the minutes. I want to move for the adoption of these minutes. Thank you very much, Honorable Speaker.
A seconder to that, Honorable Members? The minutes of the 26th, do I have a seconder for the adoption of the minutes?
I'll second that, Honorable Speaker.
Thank you, Honorable Singh. I then place the second set of minutes. Thank you. I place the 19th of May 2020 minutes. Have we had sight?
Honorable Speaker, yes,
ma'am.
The minutes were circulated. I want to move that these minutes get adopted as a true reflection. Thank you very much, Honorable Speaker.
Thank you, ma'am. Is there a seconder to that? Honorable Singh, are you? Can you be volunteered?
Okay.
Yeah, he's my partner in crime. He must always second.
Watch out, you will both go to Zondo. Thank you, Honorable Singh, for seconding. Honorable members, are there any matters arising from these two sets of minutes that we have just adopted?
Honorable Speaker, thank you very much. The matters that are arising from these minutes are covered on the subcommittee meeting report. So I tried to check other matters, but they seem to have been all covered in the reports and that was circulated. Thank you.
Thank you very much, ma'am. I thank you for that. We then go on to item
I'm sorry, Honourable Speaker.
Yes, Honourable Speaker.
There was an item, and I know it's included in the report, but it's a bit wishy-washy in the report, I mean, in terms of content. But that was the item that I raised on the 19th of May, and I asked to be included in the agenda, which was the issue of questions to ministers in terms of an implementation of Rule 136. I don't think we've implemented those rules, and even if you look at the report that's come from the subcommittee, perhaps we need to discuss it there to see why are we not implementing those rules, which was recommended to us by the subcommittee already.
Can we discuss it when we get to the subcommittee committee report? Because I think that I saw something there about it.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, can serve it.
Yeah. Can we then?
Madam Speaker, is that item not on the agenda as a separate standalone point?
It is item 7.
Thank you, ma'am.
It is item 7. But it also is, I think, reflected upon in the report. If that is correct, can we move on to item number 5? Can I recognize Ndati Khaso?
Yes, Madam Speaker. Good morning, Madam Speaker, and good morning, honorable members. This item relates to the application and implementation of Rule 6 of the NA. Rule 6 of the NA enables the Speaker to formulate a rule or a ruling in order to respond to unforeseen eventualities. The rule goes as follows. The Speaker may give a ruling or frame a rule in respect of any eventuality for which these rules or orders of the House do not provide, having due regard to the procedures, precedents, practices, and conventions developed by the House, and on the basis of constitutional values and principles underpinning an open, accountable, and democratic society. Sub-rule 2, which is what we are about right now. A rule framed by the Speaker remains in force until the House, based on a recommendation of the Rules Committee, has decided thereon. The Speaker in November last year applied this rule in respect of the panel on the Section 194 processes. In terms of that rule, the panel had 30 days within which to complete its business. And having engaged with the panel, it became clear that the panel would not be able to conclude its task within 30 days. And therefore, there was a need to allow the panel more time to attend to the business before it. And therefore, invoking Rule 6, a new rule was formulated, which was named Rule 129X, sub-rule 3, which states, notwithstanding Rule 129X1B, the Speaker may, at the request of the panel, and on good cause shown, extend the time period referred to in that rule to such later period as the Speaker may determine, which extended period may not exceed 90 days from the date of appointment of the panel. B, in the event that the panel requests a further extension beyond the period contemplated in paragraph A, the Assembly may, on good cause shown, determine such an extended period. Now, that decision of the Speaker was published in the ATC of 4 December, which was circulated to members. The determination of the Speaker was that in accordance with Rule 129X3, the Speaker hereby extends the period within which the independent panel must report from 30 days to 90 days, calculated from 25 November 2020. So in terms of the Rules Committee must confirm this decision of the Speaker about the extension of the period of the panel. So, honourable members, that is what is being placed before this meeting today for the Rules Committee to confirm the decision of the Speaker, which will then go before the House at a later stage.
The matter is placed before you, honourable members.
My hand is up, Honorable Speaker. No, my hand is up, Honorable Speaker.
Please take the floor, Honorable Majordina.
Thank you very much, Honorable Speaker. Honorable Speaker, I think this matter is straightforward. It is a procedural matter. I move that we accept this report from Mr. Kasso. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I see that the Honorable Lichisa and the Honorable Dr. Mulder's hands are also up. In that order, please.
Madam Speaker, I agree.
In that same order, I also agree.
Honorable Speaker, after the Chief Whip and the Deputy Speaker have spoken, I've got nothing more to say.
I'm sorry.
Next time, I'll
thank you very much. Next time, I will know that I must not place you in such a difficult position, Honorable Mulder. We move on to the next item.
Madam Speaker.
That is the report to...
Madam Speaker.
Next item, yes.
I just wanted to indicate that maybe at a later occasion, the Rules Committee may need to decide whether that intervention that was made should become a permanent feature of that rule going forward, but not for today's meeting, in the event that is another panel, so that we don't have to be going back to the same issue.
Yes. And maybe tighten it up because you might want to look at different circumstances which kind of force one to extend beyond what is in the rules. Thank you very much. We go to the next item, the report from the Subcommittee on Rules of the Assembly. The Deputy Chief Whip has already indicated that she will not be available. I understand she made arrangements that Dr. Kasso lead us on this report.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Thank you, Madam Speaker. And I'm going to ask the team to show the report on the screen. Yeah. On page one, please. Madam Speaker and the honorable members, there were 1, 2, 3, 4 issues that were before the subcommittee, or 5, 7 matters that were before the subcommittee, and I'm going to report on those issues that have been dealt with by the subcommittee are being brought to before the Rules Committee for a decision. The subcommittee makes recommendations to the Rules Committee. The first one relates to the composition of the Chief Whips. Chief Whip's Forum, there was a concern that the membership of the Chief Whip's Forum is not clear in terms of who should attend that committee and who should participate in its proceedings. And that maybe that process needed to be regulated. So the matter was then referred to the Rules Committee by the Speaker to look into it. And then subsequently to the subcommittee to make proposals to the Rules Committee. And I go straight to the recommendations, which are on page 2 of the report. These are the recommendations. That the Chief Whip Forum consists of the House Chairpersons, the Chief Whip, where the section is underlined, it indicates a new insertion, and where it's in brackets, this will be the omission. So this it consists of the House Chairperson, the Chief Whip, and the Deputy Chief Whip of the Majority Party, and the Chief Whip of the Majority Party responsible, and the Whip of the Majority Party responsible for programming. This was not there before. Sub B will consist of the parliamentary councillors to the President and to the Deputy President. Again, this was not provided for previously. And D will consist of the Chief Whip of the largest opposition party and one other whip from that party. So there will be two from the opposition party, that is the opposition party. And he, one member from each of the other parties represented in the assembly. The speaker and the deputy speaker may attend meeting of the chief whip forum or designate someone to attend on their behalf. This is not new. It's always been there. Three is important, one of the members. A member referred to in sub-rule 1B, G, and E, who is unable to attend a meeting of the forum may designate another member to attend the meeting, provided that the number of party representatives in attendance may not exceed those provided for in the relevant rules. In other words, if a member is entitled to, if a party is entitled to one member, it may not send two members to the meeting. And then four, rule 156 does not apply to this forum. Rule 156 deals with alternates. So this rule will not be applicable to the chief whip's forum. Rule 156 says alternates may be appointed for one or more specific members of the committee. An alternate acts as a member when the member for which that alternate was appointed is absent or has vacated office until the vacancy is filled. So that rule is not applicable to the chief whip's forum. Madam Speaker, that is my presentation on behalf of the subcommittee for consideration by the Rules Committee. Thank you. On this part, I don't know, ma'am, if I should go through all the issues. And then
well, what is the pleasure of the meeting? Do you want to make a decision now or allow the reports to go through and then we can take them, come back and take them one by one?
I suggest, Honourable Speaker, that the entire report be presented, then we'll come back and discuss. Thank you.
Are we agreed, Honourable Members, with this? I don't see any hand saying no, so we proceed in that castle, and then we'll come back and take all the matters.
Thank you, Madam Speaker.
So you can proceed to the next one.
Thank you, ma'am. The second aspect of the report deals with consideration of a ruling by a presiding officer. This is in terms of Rule 92.12, which provides as follows. A member who is aggrieved by a presiding officer's ruling on a point of order may subsequently, in writing to the speaker, request that the principle or subject matter of the ruling be referred to the Rules Committee. B, the Rules Committee may deal with the referral in terms of paragraph A, as it deems fit, provided that it must confine itself to the principle underlying or subject matter of the ruling concerned, and may not in any manner consider the specific ruling which is final and binding. I think the key issue here is that a ruling by a presiding officer is final and binding. Now, Honorable Mkalipi lodged a complaint about a ruling by Honorable Janji, who had ordered her to be removed from the hybrid sitting on 29 July. Of the House. The Speaker subsequently referred the principle of this ruling to the subcommittee, and the subcommittee considered the matter. It allowed both Honorable Janki and Honorable Mkalipi to make representations to it, and it deliberated on the representations. There was no unanimity on the issue. The EFF maintained that members had a right to speak and should not be unduly dismissed. And the issue here was that the member was dismissed from the sitting, not removed, because in the view of the chairperson, the interjections that the member was making were not acceptable. They went beyond the norm, and therefore the chair took the ruling and made the ruling. Both the EFF and the IFP expressed dissenting views on the matter and did not agree with the other parties that the ruling was fairly applied by Honorable Janji on the day in question. And therefore, in the end, the subcommittee is recommending the following, that as a principle, the imperative for presiding officers and members to maintain order be acknowledged. B, the principle underlying the ruling and previous rulings from the chair, that interjections on the virtual platform were not permitted due to their disruptive nature of drowning out the members speaking on the floor, was correctly and fairly applied by the presiding officer. That is the view of the majority of the subcommittee, but as stated, there are two parties that had dissenting views on the matter. The next one relates to determination of time for declarations of vote. The rules state that the time allocated to a member from each party for making a declaration of vote must be determined by the Rules Committee and must take into account the proportional strength of the party in the House. So what this suggests is that at the start of each parliament, the Rules Committee must make a determination in terms of the time allocation, or as and when it's required, in terms of the time applicable to declarations of vote. In the fifth parliament, the Rules Committee has made that declaration, that determination. The ANC 7, the A5, EFF 4, and all the other parties, 3 minutes each. At the start of this parliament, that determination was not made. Hence, this matter went before the subcommittee. And there were views expressed there, where the EFF suggested that the Freedom Front Plus and the Inkatha Freedom Party should have 3 minutes, and the smaller parties 2 minutes each. That view was not agreed to, and partly because the rules in terms of the ninth edition state that no member should speak for less than 3 minutes. And of course, allocating members less than 3 minutes has really been done in exceptional circumstances, like when you have condolence motions, a number of condolence motions, and there has been an arrangement that members could speak less than 3 minutes. So the subcommittee is recommending that the time allocated to the parties, which is currently applicable with 7, 5, 4, and 3 minutes for all the other parties, be retained in the sixth parliament. So if this is agreed to, it means nothing changes. The status quo remains. That time will continue to be. The next aspect of the report deals with the rules relating to questions to the Deputy President. Rule 139.1 states that questions to the Deputy President must be scheduled by the Program Committee once per month during session in accordance with the program of the Assembly, provided that the Program Committee must determine which month qualifies during session. On each question day, the Deputy President must answer 6 questions that relate to his or her functions as designated by the President. To ensure clarity and facilitate planning, a proposal was made that the Deputy President answer questions at least once per quarter instead of every month. The DA noted that notwithstanding this proposal, flexibility was important. And I think the view here was that in the event that the Deputy President needs to come and answer questions outside of that once per quarter, that should be considered and possibly accommodated. And therefore, the rule that is being proposed by the subcommittee is as follows. Questions that are interested must be scheduled by the program committee in accordance with Rule 210 for a question day at least once per quarter during session time in accordance with the annual program of the assembly. I think that at least does accommodate the view expressed by the DA, that in the event that there are exceptional circumstances, the Deputy President must appear more than once a quarter, that could be accommodated. This question may not be scheduled for any week in which the questions with the President are scheduled, and B, it's scheduled outside of the question time for ministers. So these are the proposals that are being put forward. In essence, if this recommendation is approved, Deputy President will come at least once a quarter, not month. That is a sum total of this. And then the next one, second last, is opportunities for debates for smaller parties. Smaller parties have expressed concern that they have very few opportunities to sponsor debates. These relate to, in the main, what we refer to as members' motions or subjects for discussions, not necessarily the SNAP debates, but subject for discussions, where there's the rotational system and parties give notices in the House of Motions, and those are scheduled to the rotational system. So they were concerned that there weren't enough opportunities for the smaller parties. Now, what the subcommittee has agreed to is what has been discussed in the other structures of the NA, that the Rules Committee must endorse the view that more opportunities be created for debate in many plenaries. And Madam Speaker and Honourable Members, members, that approach is being applied already. Thursday is generally now a set aside for mini plenaries, and at any given point there will be four mini plenaries. So one happening simultaneously, two happening simultaneously. So at 2 o'clock there will be two mini plenaries happening, and again at I think at four there will be another set of mini plenaries that will take place. And next week, for instance, there will be mini plenaries on Thursday and on Friday. Of course, that one was by default because dates had to be moved around. But the point is that an effort has been made and is being made to create more space for more debates on motions by parties. The last one is a matter that is coming up under item 7. Where the subcommittee has asked that this issue of monitoring of replies to questions be elevated to the level of this committee so that a decision can be taken on it once and for all. Thank you, Madam Speaker. That is a report from the subcommittee.
Thank you very much, Dr. Kaso. Honourable members, I therefore want to take us back to a decision that we need to take on the confirmation of the rules framed by the Speaker in terms of Rule 6. What says you? Do I have hands? I have, I see Meboroto's hand is up. That is seen. In that order, please.
My apologies, Speaker. I wanted to speak on the second one of the ruling. Thank you. I thought we'd bring them all at the same time. Thanks.
Okay. In that case, in that thing, are you on this one?
Yeah. Thank you, Honorable Speaker. I'm a bit lost. Are we doing 257, composition of the Chief Whip's Forum?
Madam Speaker, if I may assist.
Yes, sir. Assist in that discussion?
Yes, ma'am. The understanding was that the rule in terms of Rule 6 has been agreed to.
Has been agreed to. So we are going to
the report of the subcommittee.
The report of the subcommittee. Please excuse me. Looks like I'm having a second Monday.
Can we? Old age.
And I'm a teetotaler.
Please then
understand. All right. We are going to the report of the subcommittee. Can we then go to the first recommendation there? It was the composition of the Chief Whip's Forum.
Yes.
What do we say about the recommendation? That is thing, you have the floor.
Yeah, may I speak to that one? Honorable Speaker, I respect the recommendation of the subcommittee on rules, and I know my whip attendant, Honorable Numalo, for the sake of Honorable Machotina, he was there. He did attend, but I think while generally and in principle I agree with the composition, I don't know why after D we are ignoring the fact that there are recognized whips that are recognized by the Office of the Speaker, where the Office of the Speaker writes to Honorable Mulder, you are a whip. And I think they should be given some, they should be located before E, that the duly recognized whips in terms of the rules and as confirmed by the Speaker, you know, be part of the Chief Whip's Forum, and then any member. I'm just saying it because I think it's important that, you know, those of us who are recognized by yourself are given recognition in the rules here as well, in the pecking order of those that attend these meetings. So that's my proposal, that we include that aspect.
Okay, I hear you. Anybody coming in on this point?
Yes, Honorable Speaker, my hand is up. Thank you.
Of the majority, please proceed.
Thank Thank you very much, Honorable Speaker. Let me welcome this report from the subcommittee, Honorable Speaker. They've done a good job. Honorable Speaker, on the composition of the Chiefs Forum, I agree with the proposal as tabled there. And my understanding is that all parties will be represented in the Chiefs Forum. Even smaller parties will be represented by one person each, as against what was happening where the smaller parties will be represented by one of the parties, be it UDM or IFP, but now each and every party will be represented. I support that. The issue of alternate, I also support that there will be no alternate. Three, the specification, how many whips per party, very much important, because at times you find the Chiefs Forum being flooded by many people. So I think just to bring control, I support that. What I don't understand is the recognized whips by the speaker. Are those recognized whips as a presentation by Honorable Singh are outside the whips that are allocated here in the recommendation? If not, I don't really support that move. Instead, I was going to say the current practice where we had IFP having two members attending, I was going to recommend that other than establishing a new recognized whip that is recognized by speaker, therefore, so because now it might make us to have more members in from other parties. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Member Roto.
Thank you, Speaker. Speaker, I think the Chief Whip covered me, only to say that I think it would even be better if we say looking at this, as I agree with it, I just want to say that let us please put the parties and numbers of members who attend, because what the Chief Whip is speaking about is what I may be worried about, because some don't want to be seen as smaller parties. So it must be clear that ANC, as they follow one another, how many members will be there. And the designations that the Chief Whip is talking about, I really want to agree with her. But let's have the number so that when there are more, we are easy to detect that, no, we have more members for this party in here. Thank you, Chief Speaker.
Thank you very much. I see that Kuranov, your hand is up.
Thank you, Speaker. I'm a member of the committee that made these recommendations, and what is being discussed were considered was considered by the committee, because in sub D it is clear what the Chief Whip of the largest majority party and one whip from that party, and E is a member from each of the other parties represented in the assembly. So the conclusion was that we make it representative. All parties will be represented in the Chief Whip's forum, and I really think that we repeating arguments now that was heard in the subcommittee, and I propose that we accept the proposal on the composition of the Chief Whip's forum as presented. Thank you.
So you are actually saying that the point raised by the Honorable Singh is actually covered by D?
Correct.
Okay. Ntate Mulder?
Thank you, Honorable Speaker. I could not attend the meeting of the Rules Subcommittee. I had another meeting at that day. I think the composition of the Chief of Forum in terms of this proposal is quite clear, and it clearly indicates who may attend, who may not attend. I think the problem is only with 1E, in the sense that 1E refers to a member from each of the other parties. I think the point that Mr. Singh is making, and I support that, is that some of those parties have a recognized whip. So all what needs to be done is it should say that all parties are entitled to one member, being either their whip or another member, because some of the smaller parties don't have whips, it's just an ordinary member.
Yes.
But, for example, the EFF, the IFP, ourselves, have a recognized or more than one recognized whip. I'm not saying there should be more than one whip. It should just recognize that those are a whip, but there are also parties who do not have, and then it's only a member. So at the moment, it only refers to members, and we say, well, we are also whips. It doesn't mean that we will have more than one person, but it may either be a whip or a member.
I get you. Honorable members, are we all agreed that the parties which have, all parties will be represented? Where parties do not qualify to have a whip as in the past, they will now be able to forward a member. On top of that, we're saying all the parties which have recognized whip will continue to have a representative. What I heard the chief whip addressing was whether or not you wanted to say that now this, for instance, do you want the IFP with their numbers to be equal to the ATM, which has only two members, or to a party that has one person to all be represented as the rules? That I seem to get is where the argument is. And it seems to me that we need to deal with that here. And if our understanding is that we need to bring all parties in, then we need to recognize that D covers all the other parties which have qualified for members previously. But that E now brings in all the smaller parties, which in the past actually were represented by the two other parties, by for instance, the IFP, and the Freedom Front Plus. Is that my understanding? Is my understanding correct?
Yes, Honorable Speaker.
Madam Speaker?
Yes, that is also.
Yeah, just so that I'm clear. Firstly, in terms of these rules, the only parties that are represented by more than one person is the ANC currently, in the current composition of the House. ANC and the DA. So the ANC is represented by the chief whip of the majority party, deputy, and the whip responsible for program. And the DA is their chief whip, and one other whip can be their chief whip or any other whip. All the other parties by one member each. Now, what Dr. Mulder is proposing, as I understand it, is that instead of just saying one member, you say one member or whip from each party, so that so it can be a way and just to respond to House President Boroto, the reason why it would not be advisable to state the numbers is that each parliament has different composition, so the numbers will be stated in the attendance register, not in the rules. So the rules must be applicable continuously even beyond this parliament. So the specific numbers, if I understood the word, in terms of who is there, will be in the attendance register. I got the point by Honorable Singh, but I think it's taken care of in the proposal by Dr. Mulder. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you very much. Should we also say that the members of the Chief Whips Forum are actually the people who are recognized by Section 1 of that proposal? Because all the other two, the Speaker and the Deputy, may, it doesn't make us the members of the Chief Whips Forum. We may, and that may says that we may ask to approach, or we may be invited to approach the Speaker and the Deputy Speaker.
Correct.
Okay. So does the meeting agree with the proposal? Dr. Narendra Singh? Your hand is up.
You get The one that is proposed by Honorable Mulder, where you add
the one that's proposed.
Yes.
Yes.
You see what Honorable Kurnov said? He says, when you ask him a question, is everybody covered under D? If you read D, it says the chief whip of the largest opposition party and one other whip from that party, not from any other party that may have a whip. So something has to be just tweaked there, because Madam Chair, Madam Speaker, why I'm raising this issue, it may have an impact later on when a member who attends there say, well, I want to be recognized as a whip, then there's a salary attached to a whip. I get more salary than an ordinary member. So I'm trying to make us, you know, just aware that we must draw the distinction here, because when the whips were elected, for example, Honorable Kwankwa, he was elected to represent three other parties. And some of the other parties had the same, the ATM represents other parties. Like Honorable Chaisa is not a whip, but he's always there. I accept the principle that everybody must attend, but I'm just trying to draw the distinction between a whip and a member. So probably one or two words have to be tweaked here to recognize the paid whip, and then that's it.
Oh, I see what you mean. Did the subcommittee actually consider this point, Ndate Kwasu?
Madam Speaker, not specifically, and that is why I thought the intervention by Dr. Mulder was addressing that.
Okay.
That's one member or whip from each of the parties. So I am not sure, but I thought that Honorable Singh was agreeing with what Dr. Mulder said, but I see Dr. Mulder has sent it up. He may want to clarify his point.
Dr. Mulder, take the floor, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we are there in the sense that the only thing, as far as I'm concerned, that needs to be amended is E, to include the whip or a member. And then a party that's got a whip that will send that whip, or a party that does not have a whip will send a member. But it will remain one per party. It doesn't change anything. I think that's the only thing that needs to be amended.
Honorable members, with those clarifications, can we adopt this recommendation from the subcommittee?
I move for adoption, Honorable Speaker. Thank you.
Can I get a seconder, please?
I second, Speaker.
That Gerard Kurenov seconds. Thank you very much. Can we then move on to the ruling? The ruling made in terms of the complaint which was lodged by the Honorable Mkhalipi. Member Rota, your hand is up.
Yes, Speaker, my hand is up. I just want to go to 4B, where it talks about the principle. Underlying the ruling and previous rulings, the chair interjection on the virtual platform were not permitted due to their... Now, my worry sometimes is we put this as a principle, and whenever this rule is applied, we are asked about the rule.
Member Otto, you faded. You are gone. Sorry, ma'am, you'll have to repeat yourself because we lost you.
Okay. I was saying, ma'am, this my problem is the word principle. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
The word principle is my problem, because whenever we use this principle, we are asked about which rule. So I was saying this came from when you press the mic, it means you either want to say point of order or something, but it interrupts like what words when we praise and what, that is interruption. So is there a way of covering ourselves and make sure that on the pitch platform, you don't press the mic except if it's a point of order, but not for disruptions in a way that it covers us, because it's a problem if it says it.
Thank you very much. I think
that's what I'm raising.
Yes, ma'am. Honorable members, what's your response? That is also in the rules we framed for virtual sittings. What was the anticipation for disruption? Can we just get clarity there? Because when you are sitting in the house and members do the interjections, most of the time it does not affect and does not disrupt the house in the sense that the mic or on the podium is not overwhelmed. When it is on a virtual platform, it completely drowns the person who is on the floor. So we need to be talking to that and to get clarity on this one. Dr. Kaso, can you bring any guidance on this matter? And the point that Meb Roto raises, because also I have a problem when after a number of rulings from the chair, we have actually acted on disruptions on this as disruptions and not just on the principle. So can I get some enlightenment on this matter?
Madam Speaker, the rules for virtual sittings do not allow me to use the word ban interjections. They basically endorse the existing rules of the NA. And practices that indicate that interjections must not draw on members, must not create a disruption. So they don't necessarily say there should be no interjections, and it largely leaves it to the presiding officer to make a determination whether this, because sometimes a member is genuinely wanting to raise an issue. And maybe does not say it's a point of order, and therefore it does give the presiding officer a leeway to be able to assess whether this is really meant to be a disruption or this is meant to be a matter being raised genuinely by a member of the virtual platform. So the rules do not say there should be no interjections.
Okay. Are you done in that class?
I am done for now, ma'am.
Okay. So, members, the rules don't ban interjections, yet they simply put more responsibility on the presiding officer to be as fair as possible. In other words, we are required to listen to what the interjection is all about and to deal with it. Now, the problem is when two or three people interject at the same time in the same fashion. So I guess it is a difficult one for us, but I do agree with Meb Roto that we might have to look at the wording of that subsection B. Without taking away without imposing a ban on interjections on the virtual platform. I don't know how, but I seem to hear what Meb Roto is saying, and I also seem to understand that we can't completely ban members from making interjections when somebody else is on the floor.
No, Honorable Speaker, in agreeing with your summary, Honorable Speaker, I think
yes, ma'am.
We must also urge presiding officers to come down and take point of orders. Because at times when point of orders are not taken, it causes a lot of discomfort to those that are in the virtual platform. So when I think what we're supposed to stress is that people must not just interject. They must interject and say, if the point of order, let point of order be granted, and not, they must not be dismissed before they could even explain what that point of order is. Because in many occasions it has happened like that, Honourable Speaker. I'm not apportioning a blame to presiding officers, but as you said earlier on, that at times when 3-4 people interject at the same time, you call for order, they don't want to listen, then it becomes a problem. The sooner we come back to National Assembly, the better. Maybe as a side issue, maybe we must also check if we cannot have overflow a venue, and National Assembly and E249, so that we can get more people in physically than more people on virtual. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I get your point. I think point of orders, as a matter of fact, must be taken and must be ruled upon before we proceed. It is usually very nice parliamentary thing where you throw things at the person who is there, and we can't ban that when we are in the house. It says that sometimes it is disruptive on the platform, but we are saying that if there is a point of order, the presiding officer does not have a choice. You have to take that point of order. You have to rule on that point of order. That I agree with Chief Whip of the ANC, that we must do, and we can't take shortcuts on that. Even if there is no room for hookah-pooka when there is a point of order on the floor, it is our duty to do that. But so far we are saying that whatever the situation, we cannot ban interjections. Some of the interjections sometimes is to, I used to see in the first 10 years in digesting that sometimes when we look like we are too tired, these very long sittings, an interjection from the floor would wake everybody up. So they are not necessarily all bad. They are not necessarily all political. Sometimes they are a necessary thing. What we are saying is take them as they come, make sure that there is no way that the person who is on the floor is disrupted. If that person is warned that they are becoming disruptive, we have no choice but to switch off those mics on the platform. If we do it that way, we might be able to manage this. Dadesi, your hand is up.
Thank you. Thank you very much. No, I agree with what you are saying in the Chief Whip. Yeah, sometimes we want to get more oxygen in our lungs, so we interject, so we don't sleep away. But I think, one realizes how difficult it is for the presiding officers. But I think, Madam Speaker, I made this appeal before. The rules must apply to ministers as well. You know who I'm talking about. The Chief Whip of the ANC knows who I'm talking about. Of some of those ministers who are, regularly coming in and interjecting and unnecessarily and doing things, they need to be taken through how we are taken through or what the rules of Parliament are. And I'm just leaving that to the presiding officers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Dr. Chisa, your hand is up.
Madam Speaker, you read my mind in the summary that the Chief Whip agreed to. You reminded me of Collins Chabane and Dennis Bloom in the House. They did exactly what you say, and they would never contest any view from a presiding officer. They did what you say. That's not fighting and so on. But there are others, members, who do it repeatedly and contesting the rulings of the presiding officer. That one is really out of order. And Honorable Singh, when you say what you are saying, you must acknowledge that they've been taking on the ministers several times, not once, and different ones at that. So you must acknowledge that. We don't, I don't know how to translate that. Madam Speaker, you'll do that for me. Thank you very much.
Yes, and the thing we suspect we know. You don't butter sheep for a horse. That is the literal translation of what Lichisa is saying. It simply means that we are all equal before whatever it is that we face. And in fact, we have taken on the people you refer to. You may have noticed that sometimes we have even ordered their mics shut. Because when we are in the house, we are all affected by the same rule, the same way. If the rules apply to the head of state, they should be applying to members of the executive, irrespective of what portfolios they hold, and we will do that. Mayor Barotto, you are the last one on this one. I see your hand is up again.
Yes, Speaker, I just want to say that let's apply the rules as Mr. Castle stated them, that we apply in the House. I think this issue came because there was no warning. You remember when we remove somebody from the House, we start by warning them first. So let's also apply that to this and say, that is not a point of order. It's a warning. You are disrupting. If you do it again, we remove you. I think that will help us. That aligns us with the rules of the House. Thanks, Speaker.
Thank you, ma'am. Honorable members, so I take it that we agree to that recommendation?
Agreed.
Agreed. Thank you. We go to the recommendation from the Subcommittee on the Declaration of Votes. Are we agreeing?
Honorable Speaker, I agree that the status quo remains of the smaller parties to have 2 minutes. I really agree with it. Thank you.
Honorable Member, is there a dissenting voice on this one? We agree that we keep the minimum time to 3 minutes and we can't go lower. Are we agreeing?
Agreed.
We agree. Thank you very much. We now go to the rules related to the questions to the Deputy President. The recommendation is that we move from being a monthly to a quarterly. That is in the first instance. In the second instance is that we don't take questions from both the President and the Deputy President in the same week. We also remove the question time from either of them, from the question time to the rest of the executive. That is how I understood this recommendation. Are we agreeing on this recommendation from the subcommittee? Dr. Mulder?
Thank you, Honorable Speaker. I agree with the proposal. I don't have a problem. The one thing I would just need clarity on is if you look at 139 sub 1, it indicates, it says that program committee schedules a question session for the Deputy President at least once a quarter. It doesn't say that specifically, but it's implied. In other words, if there's more than one question session for the Deputy President in a quarter, I guess then it will also be the programming committee then that will schedule that other session. That will be the body, although the rule doesn't say it exactly, but it's implied.
Yes, it is implied. It is implied. And it also means that if the dates recommended from both the President and the Deputy coincide by a week, that we need to find distance as the programming committee. And that would mean a reconsultation on the diaries as I see matters. Natasha Lewis.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Ma'am, I see that the minutes of the subcommittee do reflect our our opposition to this proposal. However, I do just think it's very important that I place on record again here that the DA does not support the move to quarterly question time. We do mm-hmm. believe that this undermines the ability of the House to hold the executive and the leader of government business to account, and we would prefer for it to stay monthly. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Honourable members,
My hand is up. Thank you very much, Honourable Speaker. Honourable Speaker, I support the recommendations from the subcommittee that the President appear, the DP appears quarterly, and fully agree that if it clashes with the week that the President is supposed to appear, then let their diary be consulted. But I fully agree with the quarterly appearance of the Deputy President. Thank you.
I take it that we agree and we note the disagreement, the objection of the DA on this matter. Are we agreed that the objection of the DA
or is noted?
Yes. It's noted, Speaker.
Thank you very much. We then move on to the recommendation for opportunities for debates for smaller parties. Member Georgina, is your hand up for this one too?
It's an old hand. Yes.
So are we agreeing with this proposal that the Rules Committee adopts the view that more opportunities be created for debate in mini plenaries so that smaller parties have more opportunities to participate?
Now I have a new head. I fully agree on the speaker.
The hand is now new.
Yes, I fully agree.
And Dajasi?
Mine is also a new hand, speaker. I agree with my partner in crime.
So we are agreed with that proposal. We then move to the last item on the recommendations, which is the questions to the executive not replied to. The recommendation here is that this matter be placed on the agenda of the Rules Committee. Are we agreeing that we should take this to rules?
New hand again.
Ntateli Chisa, I see your hand.
Seniority before me. Not in age, but...
Oh, you want him to be senior today?
Yeah, it's a test for today.
Age
be careful with this case at end, people, you know. you have the first bite?
No, Madam Speaker, I'm raising it as it doesn't appear complex to me. It appears to be something that is operational that can be done yesterday. I suggest that this meeting here today simply agrees with it. Would that be difficult to do there? Are there any complexities that we have to go through? I have already started doing it, but without meetings. I've been, in a sense, engaging some ministers about questions they haven't answered and so on. But it looks to me like an appropriate system that there is a mechanism by which we have to account to the House that we've been engaging them, and these are the responses we are getting. And it can be seen in whether the questions are being answered, and if not, what steps we can take. I suggest we go with it, and then perhaps we may amend it if we think that perhaps it's not working in the way in which we conceived it, and so on. I would recommend that we do that.
Honourable Speaker.
And Halim will follow.
I raise this item under matters arising because this matter arose on the 19th of May, 2020, and we took a decision. And the decision was, the proposal came from you, Honorable Speaker, which we all agreed to. And after Mr. Kasso gave us a report, on the proposal of the Speaker, it was agreed that the report of the 5th Parliament Rules Committee on Monitoring Replies to Questions be submitted to the members of the Rules Committee for consideration, and that the matter be scheduled for consideration at the next Rules Committee meeting. A rule has been adopted. What we didn't do is to put together the subcommittee that is referred to in those rules that will deal with the presiding officers and the executive on this issue. I think Mr. Kasso can expand. So let's not reinvent the wheel. Let's look at that rule that was adopted by the House and constitute that subcommittee of members of the House and the presiding officers to approach ministers whenever the need arises. It's clear. So it's not a new item as far as I'm concerned.
I am very puzzled and of the proposal before us. Sorry, what was that?
We're saying you have the floor.
Oh, thank you, ma'am. I was saying I'm a very firm supporter of Mr. Singh's proposal and the proposal before us for the formation of the subcommittee. I'm a relatively new member of this committee, ma'am, so you must please tell me if I'm out of order. But I would also like to propose that we strengthen your hand in the rules in Rule 146 by not just the creation of the subcommittee, but also by empowering you as the presiding officer to expect a written explanation from members of the executive who don't reply to written questions. What I'm asking your permission to propose is, in fact, to go beyond the subcommittee that is now under consideration and which I really support, and actually to strengthen Rule 146 to give you that additional power. I'm happy to draft something in that regard if it finds favour. Thank you.
Thank you. Ndate Kasso?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I just need to give context to this. The report we are referring to is a report of the 5th Parliament, not of the 6th Parliament. It was meant to go to the House for adoption. It never got to the House. It lapsed. It was agreed to in the 5th Parliament. And the sense was that it ought to go to the House because of the significance of the position that was being taken at the time. The report basically was saying, well, the Rule 136 does not say there must be a subcommittee. It simply says that there must be a mechanism. The Speaker must establish a mechanism. With your permission, ma'am, let me just read 136. The Speaker must, in consultation with the Rules Committee, establish a system to monitor and report regularly to the House on questions that have been endorsed as unanswered on the question paper. That's what Rule 161 said. Now, the 5th Parliament then said, okay, let's have a subcommittee. Because at the time, what you had was the Speaker writing to the Leader of Government Business quarterly. So, look, these are the questions that are outstanding. Please submit. And the sense at the time was that didn't seem to be working because the response was not that good. And the Rules Committee then said, okay, let's then look at establishing a subcommittee. As I indicated, that was agreed to. It was meant to go to the House. Not that the rules say it must go to the House, but the sense was that it must go to the House for the House to endorse, but it never got to the House. So what needs to be decided by this meeting is whether this NA of the 6th Parliament revives that idea, that mechanism, and implements it once the House has expressed itself on it, or would say the Speaker, the office of the Speaker, must strengthen the current systems that are in there, where there is, as Honorable Sir Lewis was saying, that the hand of the Speaker be strengthened in terms of how you deal with the issue of unanswered questions. So I think that's really what needs to be decided.
Thank you very much. Ndate Mulder?
Yes, Honourable Speaker, I'm trying to understand. Isn't just a question that the Rules Committee refers this problem to the current subcommittee on rules to draft something and to come back to us with a proposal in terms of what that mechanism exactly should be?
That's what I seem to understand, but let's hear what Ntateli Chisa says and then conclude this matter. Ntateli Chisa?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. No, I was suggesting that, Madam Speaker, let's constitute this mechanism as is proposed. In other words, in principle, agree that we agree with the idea. It addresses a problem that exists. But I would like us to always assume good intent. The Constitution calls us to be cooperative in our relationship, even across arms of state, before we begin to invoke harsher and heavier mechanism and measures. And so reporting on a regular basis to the House on the answers we are getting itself constitute a form of sanction that may be taken following that. So I although I hear where Honorable Hill Louis comes from, my recommendation is that we not hurry there first. Let's use the current mechanism as is proposed so that as we report, for example, in the first quarter, let me assume that we say the following questions from the following ministers were not answered, even after being approached and so on. I'm just raising that as a possibility. The important thing is that for 3 months, we monitor this, and then we can move to strengthen the system further, so that we do not leave it as it is now casually, where we talk to them informally, they get from their parliamentary liaison officers questions and so on. And we do not have a follow-up, and we do not report it in the House. I would like us to try that first and hopefully get the results that we need. And the parliamentary liaison officers who are present here will go and report to the leader of government business that this is the process we're going ahead with as a result of our unhappiness with the quality of responsiveness to questions in the House, as a result of which there are a number of them that are unanswered. So I'm suggesting that those ought for us as a starting point be the appropriate one for now. No reason for us not to do what Honorable Hillouis suggests later.
Honorable Hillouis, I see you are coming back again.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Thank you, Madam Speaker. I really agree with what the Deputy Speaker has just said. I'm very happy to proceed with the current proposal and begin with the formation of the subcommittee. And if we can agree then that the matter of how else to deal with it be placed on the agenda of this of the subcommittee, the rules subcommittee, the existing subcommittee, then I'm very happy to proceed on that basis. I would just make one minor point of disagreement with the Honourable Deputy Speaker, to say that the unanswered questions are already identified as endorsed on the question paper, and that really makes no difference. So in a way, they are already reported to the House via the endorsement on the question paper. And, that is a form of sanction, but it has made absolutely no difference. So the question is, how do we escalate it now from that? And I have some proposals for how to strengthen the Speaker's hand, but I will take those to the subcommittee. But just to reiterate, I do agree with the Deputy Speaker's main point that we move forward now with the formation of the proposed subcommittee. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Ntate Maskulelo, last bite.
Thank you, ma'am. Ma'am, just have to assist the meeting. It seems to me that there are three proposals on the table. The one proposal is that the work of the fifth parliament, which was the proposal of that subcommittee, whose powers was to receive and consider reports from the Speaker, engage relevant ministers and report to the Rules Committee. So the one proposal says activate that and make it happen. The other proposal is saying, no, don't do that. leave the office of the speaker to be the mechanism that follows up with the executive. Don't establish an additional structure in parliament, but also the speaker must exercise these responsibilities. And the third one, which is by Honorable Mulder, is that refer this matter to the subcommittee and enable the subcommittee to come up with an appropriate mechanism. So I'm just raising this so that when we take minutes, in the end, we're clear what it is that this committee has decided. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Ndate Kuranov?
Thank you. I agree with the Secretary to the NA that there are three proposals on the table, Speaker. And I support the proposal by the Deputy Speaker, namely on 136. It's a system to monitor and report regularly to the House. And we leave it to the Speaker to implement the system and rule 136. This is why I understand, and I will support that option, that we implement 136(1) sub 1 and sub 2, because it also said the leader of government must be informed of any steps taken in respect of this rule. So I support the proposal by the Deputy Speaker of the three proposals that Mr. Kasu has outlined. Thank you.
Can I be a little anecdotal? Dr. Kuranov, you remember in the NCOP at some point we had an issue of particular members of the executive who did not even want to set their foot in the House. At a particular time when budgets came around, one such minister enthusiastically, as usual, gave reasons why they were not going to put their feet in the House. And we told them that the House would then not even consider that budget. The minister became very disciplined, started attending, came to debate. And actually, by the time we left the NCOP, this was a model minister. I think that sometimes what we do is we watch whether the system works or not. But I want to propose that we take the middle of the road again. One, that if the National Assembly wants to resuscitate that fifth business of the fifth parliament on this matter, let's resuscitate that report. Let's take it back to the subcommittee to consider. In the meantime, we continue to monitor as the subcommittee is busy. We will see what it brings out. Once a minister has responded or not responded in the House, it actually becomes the business of the speaker to follow up on that. And that is why there was this unending writing of letters when I was in the NCOP to ministers to say, you have said this in public, committed to this. We have not seen any action on this. You have said this in the House. You have resolved on this, but we don't see. And it is tedious, but it is our work to do. And when we couldn't get any joy after writing, we would then place the matter to the leader of government business and say, this is our proof that this minister has failed here and here and here to respond or to commit to the action they have publicly committed to. Now, when you are sometimes not looking at these things as a member of the executive, they have a bearing on whether or not sometimes you get retained or you get dumped when the time comes for decisions to be made. So when you start using your muscle as parliament to remind people that ignore us at your peril, because at the end of the year or halfway through the five-year term, we compile a report and we will say this is the report of parliament on these ministers that occupy and represent us in the executive. So I propose that we kind of do the middle of the road thing. You do not take away the responsibility of the speaker and deputy speaker to crack the whip. You do not take away the responsibility of the chief whip of the majority to talk to his caucus. You do not take the responsibility of the leader of government business to crack the whip they must crack, but we also look at a process or a structure as whatever it is that may come out of the subcommittee that says, this is how we need to be going about this matter. In that way, all of us have contributed to making sure that Parliament is taken seriously, that the executive look at it. At that time in the NCOP, we also had an issue where the House was saying the quality of the response. And we have to say to the House that we, as presiding officers, are not empowered to be experts on every matter that is responded to by the ministers, but that we can take this and say, we think that you can do better. We took this to the leader of government business and said we want to complain formally about this nice, laissez-faire attitude towards responding to us when the responses of the executive actually matter out there in the villages and in the streets. So I think that we should be taking this saying, let's look at everything possible to tighten the space, because what we really want are responses which come in time, which really address. This also does not mean that the quality of the response that an executive member makes on the floor of the House cannot be queried and be taken forward by the portfolio committee itself on the matters that affect their portfolio. So there are many ways of actually forcing good responses and quality responses. And I'm just saying I'm open to all, but I do not want to feel that you will bring in a mechanism that will render the speaker a useless tool that just says, okay, there's a group of MPs who will deal with this minister. It is my job. And if we have been rather slack on it, we will pull up our socks and deal with it. Honorable members, I think that kind of brings us to the close of the meeting today. So we take it that we will resuscitate this business and refer it with whatever it is that Ntatehe Louis is looking at to the subcommittee, that they will bring us a report which will say us, this is the how we think you can conclude it. But in the meantime, Ntatehe Chisa and I, we continue to write to ministers. He started calling them up even on the phone. He continues to do that because, as I say, it is the end result of quality, prompt responses that we want from the executive. Ntatehe Louis, your hand is still up.
Ma'am, I just want to be absolutely sure that I understand you. We are going to resuscitate the Fifth Parliament.
The business of the Fifth Parliament, yes.
We are going to do that as soon as practical. And we are also going to discuss this at the Rules Subcommittee. We're not going to wait for the Rules Subcommittee. We're going to resuscitate the other reports as soon as possible.
We resuscitate the business. This matter then goes to the Subcommittee. In the meantime, the efforts by the presiding officers to get responses continues. So one process does not hold the other. Ntatehe Khaso?
Yes, ma'am. Just to confirm what Madam Speaker is saying, we are not establishing the subcommittee at this point. That report of the people that spoke to the establishment of the subcommittee is going to the subcommittee on the review of rules, to look at it and improve if it needs to improve. In the meantime, the Speaker will do what the Speaker has indicated, follow up on these questions and apply whatever other mechanisms she needs to apply to ensure that ministers respond to questions. Thank you.
Agreed.
All right.
Okay.
Agreed.
Agreed. Remember, it was nice to see your faces again and to hear your beautiful voices. We close this meeting at this point. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
thank you very much, Honorable Speaker.
Thank you
very much, Honorable Members.